Our scripture this morning comes from Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 to 37. And it's the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." The word of God for the people of God.
Jennifer was walking on a California beach, feeling the sand under her toes, seeing the ocean lapping up against the sand. She's just enjoying herself on a nice sunny day, when all of a sudden, her toe hit something. She looked down, and it was an old lamp. She picked up the lamp, rubbed it, and yes, out popped a genie. The genie said, okay, you release me from the lamp, blah, blah, blah. This is the fourth time this month this has happened. So instead of three wishes, you're getting one. Jennifer thought, and she goes, "You know, I would like to see the beaches in Hawaii. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii, but I'm afraid of flying, and I do not like boats. So genie, I wish for you to build a bridge from California to Hawaii so I could drive there." The genie looked at her and says, "Do you realize what you're asking? This is impossible. Number one, think of how deep those pillars are going to have to go, and then to sink it into concrete, which would be into the ground, and how far this has to expand over it, and all the miles and everything going on. Think of all the steel you're going to need to build with the bridge, and everything that can go wrong with winds and hurricanes and weather. No, it's just impossible. Think of another wish." So Jennifer agreed, and she sat back on the sand and tried to think of a really good wish. Finally, she says, "Well, genie, it seems whenever I get serious about a man, he gets scared and dumps me. And what is it that they spend all weekend watching football, yet they cannot sit and listen to a woman for 10 minutes? And they never throw away any clothing. They say it's just getting comfortable. I know, genie. I know my wish. Genie, I wish I could understand men." To which the genie responded, "Would you like that bridge to be 2 lanes or 4 lanes? The impossible. Well, there's a lot of things that seem impossible. Genies in a bottle, impossible. A bridge to Hawaii, impossible. Understanding men, or men understanding women, seems impossible. What are some things that have happened to you in your past, though, that seemed impossible yet became possible? Me graduating from Morningside College, especially after my first semester. That seemed impossible at the time, but it happened. And then I went on and got a master's degree. Me marrying, known then as Amy Bussey, Seemed impossible. Yet, I've been married 35 years. What has seemed impossible to you in your life? We have a familiar reading that Jean shared with us. A familiar reading as we prepare for Christmas. Yet the possibility of it happening, well, it would have been thought of as impossible. I invite you to open a Bible to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. As in verses 28 and 29, the angel Gabriel comes to that peasant girl named Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Luke says here that Mary was greatly troubled. I think so. When Mary and the angel first meet, Mary's first impulse is what? Fear. Fear. And the angel has not even delivered the message about her having a baby. If an angel of God were to come and personally visit you, how would you respond? Would you respond like you would, like if someone comes in and says the principal or the boss wants to see you? First thing that comes out of your mind is fear. But if God wants to see you, wants to say something to you, wants to deliver you a message, yes, we too would be afraid. We'd be overwhelmed by our sense of imperfection. We'd be overwhelmed by our sinfulness. Yet God comes to Mary in the best way for Mary. And God comes to you in the best way for you. It may not be God comes to you through an angel Gabriel or any angel, such as that old television show Touched by an Angel. But God does come to you through the Holy Spirit, through the inner workings of the Spirit, or through others God has empowered to come and be with you. And God's trying to catch your eye, trying to get your attention. And it's up to you if you get that attention or not. You can accept it or you can put it away. It was a summer day, and John took his 3-year-old daughter to the kiddie park in Dallas to ride the rides. John writes this: "I put her on a small ride, which she insisted on trying, even though it was the scariest. Well, as she whipped around the corners in the kiddie car, she wrinkled up her face in a terrified cry. I tried to catch her attention, and finally, she caught my eye. And I was smiling and shouting, 'Hey, this is fun!' When she saw that I was not terrified, but smiling, she also began to laugh. What was once terrifying became enjoyable. Even this." You know, life gives us all scary rides. And we're a lot like that 3-year-old. We insist on doing something, even if God does not want us to. And then it turns into something scary. Yet God is still there, trying to catch your eye and get you through the scary rides of life. When have you been on a scary ride in life? Maybe at your own instance or the discovery of something. You know, each time you've been on that scary ride of life, God's always there trying to catch your eye and show you that he's in control and that you can trust him to be with you. However, we're like that 3-year-old, crying and keeping our eyes shut, not just our physical eyes, but our spiritual eyes. Speaking of physical eyes, I invite you to close your eyes. Just close your eyes. What do you see? Now, many of you would say, "Well, I see nothing." No? It's not like your eyes shut off. Your eyes are looking at you. They're looking at the back of your eyelids. That's what they see. Your focus is on you. Now open your eyes. And what do you see? Unless you put your hands out front, you don't even see yourself or look into a mirror. You see all that God has placed before you. If you look around your room, you see how God has blessed you. Look out your window and see people. You see people God has placed into the world. And today, this week, you will see a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people God has placed in the world, and some of them have been for you to try and help them, help God catch your eye. And it may be through physical sight, it may be through a phone call, maybe through a text. Because God realizes that life is scary for us. Anytime you're taken out of your comfort zone, life is scary. When has life been scary for you? Is it now in some way? When life is scary, God comes to you and tries to catch your eye. And it's up to you to look back, up to you to listen, just as Mary listened here in verses 30 and 34 through this scary ride that she's going to be going on, but she's already realizing something's up with an angel visiting her. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." Notice that Mary does listen. God has now caught her eye. But she still has her doubts. "Why me?" she seems to be saying. You know, "how will this be?" It's as if she's saying, "I'm too insignificant to find favor with God." Do you feel you are too insignificant to find favor with God? Notice the angel does not chastise Mary for her doubt. God does not chastise any of us, including you, for your doubt. Doubting is found throughout the Bible. But God is saying here, "Mary, you are not insignificant to me, no matter what others may say." That's the same God that says to you, "You are not insignificant to me, no matter what others may say." I want to repeat that, because maybe this is to help open your eyes through me. For God does say, "You are not insignificant to me, no matter what others may say." Matter of fact, here once again, verse 37, if you have any doubt. In the New International Version, it reads, "For no word from God will ever fail." In many other Bible translations, this sentence is the more familiar. "For nothing will be impossible with God." Or, "For with God, nothing is impossible." Yes, there is a lot that is impossible in our lives without God. You know the old saying, "God never gives you more than you can handle." Well, you know what? You do get a lot more than you can handle by yourself. But you're never given more than you can handle with God's help. For nothing is impossible with God. But it takes us to keep our eyes on him. I have a fear of heights. My family laughs about me at times, especially when we go up on the tower. They'll lean over the edge. I'm standing back against the wall because I know if I lean over, I'm going to plunge to my death. I know it's an irrational fear, but it is. It's a phobia. I hate heights. Well, about 20 years ago, Dee Hardy, he's a roofer. He's a friend of mine. And Dee stands 6'3" and over 300 pounds, mostly all muscle. And he was working on the roof of the church that I was pastoring in Shenandoah, Iowa. And Dee was a member of that church. And Dee invited me up on the roof to see the damage. I said, "No, thank you." "No," he said, "come on up. Come on, you can do it." I go, "No, I don't like heights." He goes, "Come on." Okay. He got me to go up. I climbed up the ladder about 40, 50 feet in the air to the rooftop. There's a section of roof. It wasn't the top of the roof. It was a flat part. And I got up there, got off the ladder, and as long as I'm on the roof and not near the edge, I'm okay. So he showed me the damage, and there's some windows, and we look around a bit. We talk. We have to come down now. Now, this whole time I'm looking, I'm going, okay, is there a window I can go in through to get to the church that I could get down rather than go down the ladder? But there wasn't. So I said, okay, I made it up. I can make it down. And I get near the edge, and I freeze. I am terrified. I'm not just fearful. I'm terrified. I feel that fear today as if it was yesterday. And I go, Dee, I can't get there. He goes, Roger, I'll help you. I go, Dee, how are you? He goes, we're going to have you get on the ladder. You're going to hold on to me. And you're going to look at me. Just keep looking at me. So I maneuver around and I get a foot on the ladder. I'm holding on to Dee over everything. You know, he's put his trust that he's not going to go over the edge with me. So I get on the ladder. And I get my foot down, I look down at the ladder, and Dee said, Roger, look at me, not the ladder. I immediately look up at him. Because when you look at the ladder, you see a lot of ways down. It looks like, to me, 500 feet, not 50 feet. And I'm holding on, I'm looking at Dee. He goes, okay, now lower a foot down. And I lower a foot down. He says, hold on to me. And I look down, look at me, Roger. So I look. And slowly, I get on the ladder, start making my way down. He says, keep looking, and I'm looking, and I made it down. But I was only able to make it, get over that fear, because I kept my eyes on Dee. Irrational fear, maybe, but fear nevertheless. I was in fear and thinking it was impossible for me to get down that ladder. But God, through Dee, kept saying, look at me. The peasant girl Mary is saying, this is impossible. What are you doing here? And is afraid. She's in fear, terrified. Yet God, through the angel, keeps saying to her, look at me. You have times, and you may be going through a time now where you're saying, this seems impossible. And God is saying, no, it's not. Look at me. What is going on in your life that you think is impossible? What are you looking to do about it? See, that's often the problem. We're looking to do something at it instead of keeping our eyes on where God is leading us, to others and through His Spirit. Thinking we could do it. In essence, keeping our eyes shut and keeping looking at ourselves and seeing it. Look, instead of looking at all the opportunities, God is coming to us. No, it may not be as directly as an angel, but God is through His Spirit and through others. Keep your eyes open and looking at God. Let us bow our heads for a time of prayer. God, fear takes over our life in many ways. Life is not without fear, and you are there to help us deal with the fears we are facing. So I invite you to pray for something going on in your life that seems scary, that has you in fear, and lift up a silent prayer to God to help you keep your focus on God. Keep your spiritual eyes open on Him as you deal with that fear. And just as you have fears, you know of others who are going through something scary in their life. It may be something physically scary, or it may be a mental health fear. It may be emotional trouble they're fearing, or spiritual questions that they're afraid of. And they, like you, need to be open. And they need to open their spiritual eyes to look at God through Jesus Christ, to not be afraid. So I invite you to lift them up in prayer. And Lord, may we be open to how you are using us to help open their eyes to you. It may be someone dealing with the death of a loved one, or someone who is facing a physical, mental, spiritual, or emotional situation in their life now that hasn't been there. Or it may just be a trial or tribulation they're facing due to some outside force. You are there to help. You are there to care. You are there to try to catch our eye. Each of us battle fear in life. Yet also, each of us have learned more about ourselves. And we've learned more about you through getting through that fear with your help. For there's a lot in life that we cannot get through without your help. But there's nothing that is impossible with your help, God. And you have gotten us through it. So I invite you to pray a prayer of thanks. Thanks for a time when God has helped you to not be afraid. By having Jesus be in your life, it gives you another look at when scary times come, someone to catch your eye. When doubts creep into your life, he's there to catch your eye. So I invite you to open yourself up, to open up your spiritual eyes through a silent prayer by inviting Jesus Christ to be a part of your life. All these prayers we lift up in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.